Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Willie D. Mays, 1025, 1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators in action tonight, hosting the Buffalo Sabres. And again, the news that came out about an hour or so ago, if you missed it, the Predators have made a trade. The Predators are acquiring Anthony Beauvillier from Chicago, sending a fifth-round pick to the Chicago Blackhawks. I'm sure there's a whole lot more action that is going to come down the pipe here in the NHL trade deadline space. We'll keep you updated with all of that. Elliot Friedman in 1 hour. And joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, appreciate you for joining us as always. We saw a report on USA Today saying that the Tennessee Titans were one of several teams that had kicked the tires on Kansas City Chiefs cornerback L'Jarius Sneed. Of course, the Chiefs have tagged him, but they said, hey, feel free to go seek a trade. What do you think the going rate will be, the asking price will be for L'Jarius Sneed?
Oh, wow. Listen, I think the asking price for an elite corner is going to be, you know, and presumably, you know, what Sneed would obviously want would be, and you say asking price, like, right, to kind of reset the cornerback market. So you're going to pay top dollar on a long-term deal for, you know, one of the better corners in the league. And then, you know, the team compensation and the trade portion of it is obviously, I guess, probably first round plus is what you're probably talking about. And so when you look at that, it's a hefty price tag, but it's for a proven player. And so I think that's typically how those things work. And, you know, unless the player is in a situation where he's just completely adamant about not playing on the tag, which it really usually boils to the point where it doesn't financially make sense for somebody to make that type of demand and actually sit out. But if it's just going to be such discontent that kind of forces your hand as a team to move a player. And so, look, I don't know if that's the case or if that's where it's headed with Sneed, but I would think that all those other pieces would have to be in place for a team like the Chiefs to make a move.
First-round pick. Woo.
I mean, I think, like, look, I mean, and I don't know, but, like, it feels like that's what it would be. I mean, right? Yeah. I mean, you had an elite corner that's still relatively young, and – you know, you have him under contract for at least a year. So, I mean, I would think that that's what you would want.
I'm sure that's going to be Kansas City's asking price. Hey, you want an elite corner, you're going to have to pay for it. Tim Hasselbeck is with us, kind of looking on the defensive side of the ball. Christian Wilkins was not franchise tagged by the Miami Dolphins. I saw a projected contract to be around $17 million per. That feels low, Tim, for a defensive tackle of Christian Wilkins' caliber. I don't think he's going to get $30 million Aaron Donald, Chris Jones money, but that is one that I do believe that the Tennessee Titans should be kicking the tires on. What kind of player would the Tennessee Titans potentially get should they kick the tires, and what do you think the going rate for Christian Wilkins would be?
Yeah, if that report is out there, chances are, you know, that – it's probably relatively accurate. I would not think that was a team link or leak or, you know, speculation on the contract just because of you know, how things are playing out in Miami with that. And so with that, you know, you would have to guess that that's maybe an agent leak. And so my guess would be that that's maybe the range-ish, you know, and obviously the details of it. But I think he's a really good player. I think as you look at interior defensive linemen, guys that can impact the game, I think he's on a pretty short list of somebody that does that. So I would think that the market would be strong for him. And look, he might be in a situation where, you know, he's letting things play out a little bit with, you know, with what else happens, like with Chris Jones or, you know, other guys at that position that may be up, that may be signing deals. It maybe makes sense for him to have a little patience through the process of it to see where the market goes.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. First, I want to congratulate you on hiring your brother Matthew to be the OC. But this is what I want to know before I get into my question about the draft. So is this the beginning of, like, the Tim Hasselbeck tree? Are we going to be talking about the Tim Hasselbeck tree?
Oh, wow.
Once you guys win about two or three championships, is Matthew going to be looking to take over somewhere else? And now we've opened up the tree of Tim Hasselbeck?
I mean, I'm, you know, as my dad played for Bill Parcells. And so because I think if you're not concerned about adding really good coaches around you and then understanding that they may leave to go be successful somewhere else, you know, like, and then also knowing that there are a lot of guys out there that know a heck of a lot more than me. And so I'm good with those guys. You know? You look really smart by having really smart, good people around you. So, listen, don't be fooled. Now, I'm just glad you asked me that and didn't ask me if, like, we were going to be riding, like, a tandem bike to school together.
Yeah, because you don't live too far from
you
it now.
You can pack each other's lunches, Tim.
Exactly.
That would be – imagine the social media. Imagine the social media for that.
Who's going to pick up who? Like, does Matthew come and pick you up, or do you pick him up?
When Rex and Rob Ryan were coaching together – they rode a tandem bike to training camp one year. I forget where it was.
That is precious.
And so when Matthew joined ESPN, they were like, hey, let's do a little spoof like the Ryan brothers did and have you guys ride a tandem bike. And I don't know how it happened, but somehow I ended up on the back. There is nothing worse than being the guy riding in the back on a tandem bike. Because a couple of things happened. One, the guy up front isn't pedaling, but you're doing all the work. And then the guy up front steals. Like, you have handlebars when you're in the back that don't do anything. So it's like, it's the most helpful, demeaning spot to be in. So so if we ever did that again, no, I got shotgun. I'm right there.
Well, congratulations on the hiring of your brother to be the OC over there. I know you guys will put together a really good team and ultimately win a championship there, multiple state championships there with the Innsworth Tigers. Now, looking at this year's draft, everyone, Tim, if you look at just about every mock draft, there's some similarities, but then there's some differences as well. Do you expect the top five or top six to go as we have seen in many mock drafts? Because if you look at the top five, I think across the board, there may be some differences here and there, but majority of the guys that are in the top five, top six of the mock drafts are mock drafts across the board. But do you see a change, or do you see something happening within that first four or five picks that can kind of throw the whole draft off?
You know, something to be amazed, I kind of do. When everybody is in such unison on this stuff, it usually makes me feel like, you know, they're just, I don't know, maybe a lot of people are listening to the same people, right, that are talking. And feels like there's movement when we get to the draft based on, you know, that just looks different than the mock drafts. And I think sometimes if we look back and say, like, well, did it really change? Like, was there movement, or was everyone just slightly off, you know, the whole way? And I think I've told you guys a story. Like, I talked to somebody that I considered, like, to be really close with, thought that, like, he, you know, and I wasn't doing mock drafts. Like, he told me something one time, and the draft rolls around, and I was like, dang, like, that hurt my feelings. I was like, you just lied to me about what you guys were doing on the with the draft. But here's what I think, and obviously, like, I've talked to you guys about this and have said so on other shows as well. Like, I think Drake May is the best quarterback in this group, and I mean, there are really good quarterbacks in this group. Do I think that there probably are other people that see the quarterback situation maybe more similar to the way I see it versus how it's being represented in these mock drafts? I do, because I just feel like I've been doing this enough and watching guys enough and learned enough about these guys that, like, not everybody's going to evaluate quarterbacks the same. Like, that is for sure. But this guy possesses so many things that you would want out of that position that no matter how much you like Jaden Daniels or no matter how much you like Caleb Williams, Drake May is checking so many boxes that there are going to be guys that prefer Drake May. There just are. And so to shake things up at the top of the draft, yeah, look, where he goes, I think, would shake things up, considering a lot of people don't have him going in the top two. And a lot of people have talked about maybe he doesn't go to three at three, and maybe three moves and someone else comes up to three and takes him or somebody else. So, yeah, I do think that there'll be movement. I don't think it'll play out. And I do think that some of that will be reflected in mock drafts between now and draft day.
So, Tim, you've been high on Drake May ever since the beginning of the football season. Mm-hmm. And I have heard a lot of rumors, gossip out of the combine that Drake May's stock could be slipping. Now, this is an if, a huge if. If Drake May's stock does slip and he falls to 7 to the Tennessee Titans, should the Titans take him?
100%. 100%. I'm telling you what, if his stock is slipping at the combine, I'd like to know what for. I mean this, like, in terms of, like, I mean, so size, athleticism, arm strength, and then the interview process. You guys, you know, I've had, you know, I called his first start, and I've called his, I guess it would have been his last game, his against NC State this past season, because he didn't play in the bowl game. Like, I had him a number of times, had him in production meetings a number of times. He's going to be super impressive in the interview process. Like, so to me, when I hear, like, hey, his stock is dropping, I, like, that feels like it has to be smokescreen to me. It has to be, because, like, I've sat there and I've experienced what the interview process would seem like with him. And I don't think that there are going to be teams that walk away from interacting with him and think that guy can't be a franchise quarterback. That would be the most unlikely scenario that I could imagine. So I, like, to me, Caroline, I really feel like, you know, maybe like it like happened to CJ Stroud, where, like, it seemed like there were bad reports leading up to the draft. And maybe that's why he didn't go as high as many people maybe thought that he could have or should have. So that's what that feels like to me, if you know, that is what the buzz is.
That is interesting to think back on all that stuff about Stroud right before the test, you know, the Nashville-based
test.
Guys, the S2. That was quite the firestorm, and it did not – It seems crazy to think that happened because of how well Stroud is playing. But let me ask you about another guy, Tim, because this is another thing that people start speculating, is when there's always a quarterback that shoots up the board. I know you didn't see him as closely as you saw Drake May, but what do you think of J.J. McCarthy as a pro prospect?
Here's what I would say about McCarthy. I think McCarthy's physical ability and athleticism is first round talent, right? I think that, you know, he's weathered the storms of competition, being at Michigan with other good players, playing in that environment that is absolutely a, like, that is a plus in a big, big way. I've talked to you guys a lot about how much football have you played, what's the environment been like. That, like, that's a really good aspect to the evaluation process of J.J. McCarthy in his favor. And I think that there's also a competitive and mental toughness about him that is something that everybody would love, that I think oftentimes probably gets overlooked a little bit in this process. Now, I would say, do I think that as a passer that he's had moments of inaccuracy and that make you say, like, there are other guys I just feel like in the passing game operate more efficiently? I would feel that way about him. Now, in fairness to that, well, he didn't play in an offense that, you know, was conducive to, hey, if you missed a throw, you had the ability, you know, seven more times because of how you you played offense to come back and, you know, to come back and make three more plays that to make up for that miss. So I do think that there's an element of that, in fairness to him, like when you miss a throw, like, hey, can you come back and do that? Where, like, Caleb Williams had all kinds of chances like that.
So, Tim, one more for you. What do you think is next for Russell Wilson? And if you're out there and you've seen what's happened, right, it's been so loud, it just didn't fit all these bad things you heard about Russell Wilson, to the point where, like, you're trying to remember back in the day where he was, like, the model guy playing for winners and winning a Super Bowl, almost winning a second straight Super Bowl, which is rarefied air. So what do you see from him going forward, and what's he worth?
So I think he might be done playing football. And I said this a while back. And here's why I say it. At the end of this season, if he literally sits on his couch from today to the end of the season, he will have made $300 million playing football. That would put him as the fourth highest earner in the history of the National Football League. Okay? So my question is, why would Russell Wilson go sign with the Steelers for league minimum, make $1.1 million, and not have the financial security of, hey, if you're not playing well, we can't turn on you and just decide to bench you and go play, you know, Kenny Pickett or someone else? So I just don't know why. Like, I don't know that he'll take that chance. I don't know that he would do that. And some people say, well, we're going to find out how much he loves the game. I think it's more than that. I think you can love the game and say, like, I might be putting myself in an embarrassing situation. So I just – guys that have been to the top of the mountain the way that Russell Wilson has been to the top of the mountain, that have made that kind of money, they don't sign places to, like, compete for a job. They just don't. Like, I don't, like, find someone who's done that in the history of the NFL. Like, I don't know that there is one.
Yeah, I can remember Cam Newton's, disbelief, really, when he was cut by Carolina, and there weren't teams lining up for him to start, and he ends up in New England. That's a little bit similar, right, of what Russell Wilson might be facing.
Well, it is, but it's even worse because at least New England had the chance to sign Cam. And when you looked at the financial obligation on your team, you thought, well, they're paying them, you know, they're guaranteeing him this much. There is not another quarterback on the roster that's making more money than him. And so for that reason, he's most likely going to be there. And the difference is, you know, for Russell Wilson, it's like, let's just look at some of the scenarios. Again, Pittsburgh, one, I don't think Pittsburgh's going to say, hey, you're for sure our starter, when they, you know, the Kenny Pickett experience isn't really that far along. So I think there's that situation. When you look at Atlanta, you say, okay, well, there are other guys in Atlanta that they've invested in some. So if you don't play great, then you're only making 1.1 on veteran minimum. Like, they can cut you with no recourse. or they can bench you with no recourse. So I just don't know. I'm going to be shocked if he decides to do it. So do I think Russell Wilson is one of the best 32 quarterbacks on the planet? I absolutely do. Do I think that he will sign up for playing for league minimum when it's not going to impact him making more? He basically is saying, I'm going to bet on myself this year for a longer-term deal after that. But he's 35 years old, and he hasn't played well in 2 years.
Yeah, so his clock is ticking, and it's ticking very fast. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it's almost at the end of his NFL playing career. Now, before we get you out of here, Tim, a lot, I think, will be made. A lot will be done before the draft. And Justin Fields, and the only reason I'm asking about Justin Fields is because I think that, and it seems like things have slowed down, the talks have slowed down on where he could possibly go, you know, trades, what they want, Chicago wants for him. It seems like it slowed down a little bit, but we know it will pick it back up eventually. But I'm asking you about him because I think ultimately, if he is dealt before the draft, it will affect potentially what the Titans can do at that seventh pick, because now you take one team out of the equation that needs a quarterback.
Oh, there's no question about it. And it felt to me like, well, wait a second, maybe he's not moving. I feel like 3 weeks ago, he's definitely out of there. I still think that he's out of there because I think when you hear Ryan Poles talk, I just don't feel like you talk like that about somebody that's going to be your starting quarterback next year that's still a very young player. So, yeah, I think that that happens. I think what happens, you know, kind of in the Kirk Cousins situation, I think that will impact the draft quite a bit because whether it's, whether it's the Patriots or whether it's, you know, some of those teams that seem like they're maybe – a little further back, maybe out of, the conversation in terms of, you know, whether it's the Giants, you know, whether they're in the quarterback mix or not. And then you also look at places and you say, well, no, like, you need to win. Like, you know, does Mike Tomlin need to win? No, but, like, I think he's at the point now where it's like, look, I feel like I got a pretty good team. Like, we need a different quarterback to get it done. Or if you look at Brian Daboll at the Giants, like, you're in a situation where, like, you probably need to save your job. And a young quarterback that is showing promise is one of the ways you can save your job. So, yeah, I think that, you know, I think the two biggest dominoes to fall in terms of what the draft looks like are Justin Fields and probably in this order, Justin Fields and Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. And I think where those guys go, I think we'll have a lot to do with the layout of the draft in terms of where quarterbacks end up.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Ensworth Tigers. Tim, we look forward to seeing you down the streets of Nashville on your tandem bike.
Just think of the viral possibilities.
If I see you riding down 100, I won't beep loud, okay, Tim? I won't scare you.
Hey, listen, if you see me on 100 on a bike, then you know I've lost my mind. It's not safe to do that.
Because D-Mace alone drives pretty fast on 100. I know. I get that from pretty good sources.
D-Mace is going to pick up a hitchhiker.
Okay. Well, I've seen D-Mace running in Percy Warner, so I'm just going to say that, like, you know. Hopefully he drives faster than he runs these days.
I've seen him drive. I can guarantee that. No matter how fast he runs, I can guarantee he drives faster than he runs. Tim, appreciate you for stopping by. We'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Awesome. Yep. Thanks. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. We got some tea there.
Yeah.
Tea about the Drake May situation. Now, it's a big fat if, but I was surprised at how confident Tim was an eager he was saying, hey, if the Titans, or if Drake May falls to the Titans have to take him. So we'll react to that coming up next. We'll get into your phones coming up next. And, of course, NHL trade deadline extravaganza, all that coming up next. Caroline Willie T. Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. So, Tim, you've been high on Drake May ever since the beginning of the football season. Mm-hmm. And I have heard a lot of rumors, gossip out of the combine that Drake May's stock could be slipping. Now, this is an if, a huge if. if Drake May's stock does slip and he falls to 7 to the Tennessee Titans, should the Titans take him?
100%. 100%. I'm telling you what, if his stock is slipping at the combine, I'd like to know what for. I mean this. In terms of, like, I mean, so size, athleticism, arm strength, and then the interview process. You got to think, you know, I've had, you know, I called his first start, and I've called his, I guess it would have been his last game against NC State this past season because he didn't play in the bowl game. Like, I had him a number of times, had him in production meetings a number of times. He's going to be super impressive in the interview process. Like, so to me, when I hear, like, hey, his stock is dropping, like, that feels like it has to be smokescreen to me. It has to be. Because, like, I've sat there and, I've experienced what the interview process would seem like with him. And I don't think that there are going to be teams that walk away from interacting with him and think that guy can't be a franchise quarterback. I just that would be the most unlikely scenario that I could imagine.
That was Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst on our show. Appreciate him for stopping by in the last segment. Zero hesitation whatsoever from Tim. Hey, in the crazy off chance that Drake May's stock continues to slip, crazy things happen on the day of the draft, and he falls to 7, should the Titans take him? Zero hesitation, 100% yes, take him. I mean, and not even like a, well, you know, you might want to see what you have in Will Levis. Well, you know, the Titans have bigger needs at left tackle and wide receiver, because that's how I would answer that question. 100% take him. And I think Drake May is a fascinating prospect because we hear Tim, who has called Drake May's games, who played the quarterback position in the NFL, saying he is one of the most complete prospects he's ever seen. But I also, on the other side, hear a lot of people who say, yeah, Drake May, meh. Such a varying wide range of opinions on Drake May. But I was surprised that Tim was as confident in saying, yes, take him if he falls to you at 7.
Yeah, that was... that was a eye-opener, so to speak, because like you said, yeah, whenever, you know, a quarterback and Will Levis is brought up, it's, you know, maybe you trade out of it because you got to see what you have in this young quarterback. He showed some promise. He looked good at times. He does need to develop. The offensive line wasn't good, so get him an offensive line, give him another pass catcher, you know, and then really see what you have. But, you know, Tim didn't go in that direction. He said, listen, if he's there at 7, then you take him. Mm-hmm. And that would be that's a position that if I'm the Tennessee Titans, I don't necessarily want to be in because of this. If you pass on him, say you trade out of that spot, you pass on him, somebody gets him, and he turns out being CJ Stroud.
It's 2017
now,
all over again.
Everybody's looking at you like, what in the hell did you do? You had an opportunity to get one of the top two quarterbacks in this year's draft, and you passed on them. Uh-huh. Why, to get a tackle? You can get a tackle anywhere. That's what they end up saying. But in actuality, you can't get a tackle
it's
anywhere.
It's like passing on Patrick Mahomes to take Corey Davis because Marcus Mariota was your guy.
Absolutely. And that's the dilemma that if I'm the Tennessee Titans, I really wouldn't be in, because you have to sit down and think. Drake May's, if it's Drake May or Caleb Williams, but we assume that Caleb Williams is going first.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
But even, let's just say this, any one of the top three quarterbacks, Daniels, May, or Caleb, if they fall to you at 7, I wouldn't want to be in that position.
It's a tough position.
Because if you trade, if you do what's right, and that's to trade out of that position and get more draft picks, and that guy hit, people are saying, what in the hell did you do?
And then that's no longer what was right.
Exactly.
It may have been what felt right at the time because you believe that you had your young quarterback and you were going to continue to build around your young quarterback. But if Drake May turns out to be the next Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady... You look like an idiot.
Yeah, and you probably, and people in their eyes, even what you got still doesn't equal to what he is or going to be in this, you know, in this NFL. So I wouldn't want to be in that position if I'm the Tennessee Titans. If one of those quarterbacks fall to me, I'm like, either I'm asking for the farm for you to move up to get him, or you pass on him. Wow.
I think you would be in a position to ask for the farm, but
yeah.
Drake May, that was really eye-opening to hear Tim say that. In my heart, not in my heart, my head, there's no way he's going to seven. He's not dropping to seven.
But it depends on, Willie, what happens, and we talked about this, what happens with Justin Fields and what happens with Kirk Cousins. If one of those teams that can potentially draft a Drake May gets a Justin Fields or a Kirk Cousins, now we assume they're out of the picture for, especially if
that's
they
true.
Get Fields.
Stuff can happen. Fields is a really interesting one. What's going to happen with that? But I just still feel like the gravitational pull will be for May to go second to somebody. Somebody's going to trade up to two that wants him.
Yeah.
That really believes
trade with
in
the
him.
Commanders?
Well, they're going to get up before seven. Let's say that.
Yeah,
I feel safe in saying because it just happens every year. Like, but look, you have to prepare if you're the Titans of the what if as you get there. Because I don't know that it would be May. I just think May will go. May is going to go in the top three. Mm-hmm. Now the McCarthy thing or Daniels is an interesting one too. You just have to say okay if. For what crazy reason, if one of these guys is sitting here at seven, what do we do? Like, you definitely have to have a lot of conversations about that
a
staff.
You have to, because you are picking too high to just assume that those quarterbacks are going to be off the board. You have to do your due diligence, and it would feel, in the moment, like the smart move if one of those quarterbacks falls to you to trade back, acquire more picks, pick up a third in this year's draft, pick up another first in next year's draft to take advantage of those quarterback needy teams and get the farm. Oh, you're going to give me a one in next year's draft? I need two. Mm-hmm. I need your next two first round picks. You want to work the market.
Yeah.
You want to work how desperate some of these teams are. That would feel like the right thing in the moment, and you would feel like you won the draft, that you won the moment. But 5 years later, if Drake May is hoisting up a Lombardi, and you're on your second or third quarterback, and you still live in quarterback purgatory, and I'm not saying that's going to happen, but let's be honest, it could.
I'm sure
that's
it's happened.
That's with Drake May or Jaden Daniels.
Sure. That's the thing. Like you have Tim basically selling May as a special guy, and if that's how you evaluate him compared to Levis, that there's just a big gap, and you say this guy just checks out way better than the guy we've got, because that's what would have to happen. If you have him around the same of what you have Levis, then it makes more sense to keep Levis and get the picks that you could get, because both could work, and you can't you just can't control. The 5 years, what if? Like, you can't think, because talk shows think that way, but you can't think that way. You just have to make your decision and go, right? You just have to, this is what we're deciding, and we're full blown ahead. Whatever happens, happens.
And you have to know that that's the right decision, and you have to understand and be okay with, if I'm wrong, I'm going to lose my job. Like, that's just the nature of the business. That's the nature of the beast. That Rand Carthon said it himself. People get hired and fired in this business because of the quarterback position.
Sure. Well, I'll give you another example of here, the hockey team here, that you just have to move forward. This was the decision. You're sticking to your guns. And that's it. Like, in hindsight, you could sit there and say, well, what if this team had Matt Duchene? My goodness. But you haven't heard a peep out of Barry Trotz or anything looking back and saying, well, I really wish we could have. You have to be prepared on that day that that could happen. And that's exactly what's happened to Duchene. He has done exactly what we thought he might be able to do. He's playing a lesser role where he's not being counted on as much. He's getting paid double. He's double dipping. And he's having a tremendous year for the Stars. And he's probably going to hit the market again this coming year. Mm-hmm. But the Predators have made their decision. They've moved on. And there's some good things that have happened as a result of that as they sit there today. And I think that's what you would have to do if you're the Titans to say, oh, man, what if this guy becomes a great quarterback and we pass? I think that's just not smart thinking. You just got to go with it. You got to believe in yourself.
Well, I mean, yeah, you have to. I mean, the same sort of situation happened with the Arizona Cardinals many years ago, 2018, where they had just drafted Josh Rosen, 13.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't look good.
Yeah.
He may
Josh
have had
Rosen.
Some good
that's
games
a good,
in
that's
there.
A good one.
But then the next following year, they had a chance to draft a quarterback, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just think had they – I mean, Kyler Murray has been a good quarterback. Can he get better? Absolutely. Does he need to be more mature? Absolutely, and take his job seriously. I think he has now that all of this stuff has been revealed.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
maybe
he is
calm down with the Call of Duty.
Exactly,
you're a starting quarterback in the
just
NFL.
Just think, if they didn't take Kyler Murray and they stayed with Josh Rosen, and Kyler Murray goes somewhere else and has a good career thus far,
mm-hmm.
don't you think Arizona Cardinal fans will be looking back and said, "You passed on Kyler Murray."
Totally.
We had Josh Rosen. He's not on our team anymore. And look where we are as a team.
There are hundreds of stories of that uh-huh. exact or very similar situations of, oh, what if we didn't make this move that felt a little bit uncomfortable mm-hmm. at the time? Where would we be now? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get into your thoughts on this. Plus, Will, you bring up the Matt Duchene trade. Well, how smart does Barry Trotz look with the Ryan Johansson trade?
Yeah.
My goodness. We'll get into that coming up next and some more NHL trade deadline buzz. We'll chat with Elliot Friedman in 15 minutes. Boy, but Elliot's having a chill,
ooh.
Calm, you know, stress-free day. We'll chat with him in 15 minutes. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. Tune into 94.9 The Fan tonight as Vanderbilt women's basketball takes on Florida in the SEC women's basketball tournament. Pre-game at 7:15, tip-off at 7:30. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. We're live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators hosting the Buffalo Sabres tonight. Last game before the NHL trade deadline tomorrow afternoon. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet 32 Thoughts podcast will join us in just about 10 minutes. So we'll get the latest on what all the buzz is at the NHL trade deadline. The Predators have been active today. They made a trade with the Chicago Blackhawks. The Predators receive Anthony Beauvillier, left winger from the Blackhawks. The Predators send Chicago a fifth round pick. This feels to me like a low risk kind of move. If he adds a little bit of offensive firepower to help push you over the edge, to get into the playoffs, to compete in the playoffs, great. If he doesn't, it's a fifth round pick. You move on from him at the end of the season.
He's been in the Eastern Conference most of his career. He did get traded to Vancouver at the deadline last year and then got traded to Chicago this year. But I'm trying to envision, he's played plenty of games against the Predators, but I don't. What I also wonder is, how does his game fit the Brunette system, mm-hmm. right? The up and down, create a lot of odd man rushes. Is that something he could flourish in? Because that is also part of the equation here. But I know this, as we were saying, and Barry Trotz would know.
Yeah.
And that's because all you can do is speculate how a guy's going to fit in with a new team. This is a mm-hmm. tight-knit group, right? That's what he's going to have to. Like, I'm sure that team right now is like, oh, okay, you better earn your way in here. We got a good thing going right now. We've had the same lineup. This will be the 10th straight game tonight where there's not been a single lineup change. So that's one thing to think about. But the Bruno effect is real. We've talked about it. They create a lot of offensive chances. They don't have a lot of offensive finishers mm-hmm. to turn those chances into goals. Mm-hmm. And so if Beauvillier could be a little upgrade in that area.
What line do you think he would play?
Well, that's
if indeed.
I envision, we talked about this before when mm-hmm. Tarasenko's name came up.
Yeah.
If you have a more of a shooter with Novak and Evangelista, and you didn't have to sacrifice defense, right? Because those are offensive minded guys, mm-hmm. right? That you're going to try to start in the offensive zone. You're going to try to put them in as many offensive situations as you can. You can control that at home a little bit more mm-hmm. because you have the last line change. On the road, as soon as you see that line go out there, the other team's like, let's get the big weapons. Let's try to exploit them defensively.
Yeah.
So it's harder to control on the road. But like if I'm in that locker room, you're like, okay, you better bring something to the table and earn this because Mark Jankowski's done a really good job with those two guys. But I can see Beauvillier being the shooter with Novak and Evangelista creative, more playmakers than finishers. Although it's not like those guys can't score, right? But they're also hockey IQ guys, right? They can set up a shooter in places where he could score. That's just my vision, mm-hmm. but that's not me talking to anybody about him
right
now. And we said this during the break. Anthony Beauvillier is a guy on an expiring contract who has got to be thinking, man, isn't this great? I get out of Chicago.
Thank goodness I'm away from this truly horrendous team.
He might walk from Chicago to get to Nashville to get here because he's trying to save his career. He's trying to get that. He's 26. He's at a huge crossroads.
Yeah.
That next contract doesn't look like it's going to be for a race, right? He hasn't outplayed that contract. He's been okay. He's going to have some market value, but if he could have a big impact in the last couple of months, that could help his value on the open market.
I think it's good for both sides.
Yeah, he's going to be a motivated guy coming in here.
It feels like to me, for the Predators, low risk, and I'm not going to say high reward, but I'll say low risk reward. And then
possibly
for Anthony, and if it doesn't, who cares?
Yeah,
move on.
He'll be one of the black aces skating with the extras, and you're like, who is that guy? Oh, that's Beauvillier.
Yeah, you know? I remember that name.
Remember they traded for him, and he didn't really do anything. You know, but you're no worse off, right? He's there. He's a veteran. He's played a lot of games.
It's a fifth-round pick, and for him, he gets out of Chicago. And I think, I think anyone not named Connor Bedard would take that opportunity.
Connor Bedard would take it if he could.
All right, it is NHL trade deadline eve. I think the busiest man in all of the Americas is Elliot Friedman. He will join us coming up next. He'll talk Anthony Beauvillier and the latest in the NHL trade deadline. Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet, will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mays, we're broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.